soon to a...
A man has seen every... Hell comes to Huntsville.
Let's drag everyone to hell.
We're already in hell. We might as well have everybody else with us.
I mean, kicking and screaming, you sons of bitches.
Uh-huh.
A little spooky spooky that makes you go the dookie dookie. It is Hell Comes to Huntsville. I don't know.
What?
Sometimes you get so scared, you just poo those pants. Spooky spooky.
Okay.
Get the dookie dookie.
Have you ever done that before? Have you ever gotten so scared that you shit yourself?
I imagine when I was like one.
Okay. All right. I as long as I have a walking memory, I have not shit myself that I know.
I am very proud that you know.
That I, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm very proud
of
you.
Not in my recollect.
To my knowledge, I have not been so scared that I have dookied my drawers either.
Okay, if we could not say dookie anymore, that'd be great.
I am exclusively going to say dookie.
I'm not a fan of that word, but that's fine.
Fair enough. Hell Comes to Huntsville. We are on day number 16. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster.
Hey.
We are also known as the crew from Huntsville Home Video.
Mm-hmm.
And daily, for the last 15 days, we've been knocking out these 31 horror movies with our good buddy all the way from North Dakota, from America's Barley Basket, Marlon Wells. Marlon, have you been so scared that you've ever shat yourself?
I am on a hot streak, as it were. I feel like I should have one of those, like, days since our last industrial accident ticking calendar things. I am on a hot streak of never once having shat myself as an adult. Like, it was long back in before my memory even kicked in toddler days, the last time I had a Code Brown on my hands.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to throw this out there. In my heyday, I used to drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In his heyday, Marlon used to drink a lot. And the fact that the two of us never shit ourselves, I mean, I'm patting myself on the back, Marlon. I suggest you do the same.
It's really something. It is our sphincters are marvels of modern engineering.
That is disgusting.
Our individual buttholes are proof of intelligent design more than anything else.
If anybody asks me about Marlon, I'm going to be like, guy's got a great asshole. Same with Jack. First thing I'm going to do is brag about y'all's b-holes.
Yeah, just real top shelf dirt buttons all around.
Before.
You know, I, as a horror fan, would like to find as many horror-related podcasts as I could get into this spooky season. Oh, Hell Comes to Huntsville. Let's see what all this is about then. Oh!
Buttholes!
Top shelf dirt buttons. Unsubscribe.
Oh, it says here they're doing Drag Me to Hell. I'll check this out. I like Sam Raimi. What the fuck is going on this show?
We're like 4 minutes in, maybe? Not even.
I think this might be the quickest train wreck either of our podcasts have ever had.
Yeah, and that's saying something.
Yeah. Hmm. Whew.
Man.
Boy, howdy.
You know what? Cheers.
You want to write this ship? You want to write this tight brown ship, Jack?
No. Let's just keep going right down that Hershey Highway, see where we end up.
Phew.
Oh, boy. Drag Me to Hell? Yeah, Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
I think we're going to talk about that one today on Hell Comes to Huntsville. If we get sidetracked and talk about buttholes again, I mean, you can't really fault us. It's just...
I feel like it's going to come up now. I feel like it's going to come up again.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to talk about buttholes now.
I mean, we got buttholes on the brain here at Hell Comes to Huntsville.
You mm-hmm. feel like we've opened the Pandora's box of anuses? You yep. think that's where we're at?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let's just see where we end up.
Where are we we do.
See where we end up. Drag Me to Hell, a Sam Raimi jam from 2009. I had not seen this one. Mm-hmm. Leanne, you had seen this one?
I had.
Marlon, have you seen this one?
I had not. This was new. Right. This was one that I had always heard good things about. Like, general, no one was ever like, oh, fucking yes, you have to. But everyone was like, yeah, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my history with at least the murmurings of this movie.
Okay. Now, Leanne, what does it feel like to be in on a conversation where the two of us had not seen a movie and you have seen the movie? This is so rare for you.
I feel like now I'm the dominant butthole.
And there it was.
I'm the alpha.
It just came back naturally. I'm the dominant butthole now.
I'm the alpha butthole. Alpha anus. Woo!
You are getting that on a business card.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
You're damn right I am. Laminated and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Alpha Anus is the worst Marvel movie I've ever seen in my life. It is nightmarish.
Yeah.
This is a Disney movie. Jesus.
Oh, my God. The costume design is horrendous.
So many muted browns.
Still better than Thor Dark World, though.
God bless.
No, I feel good today. Feel
you
good.
Feel good today?
Yeah, I feel good.
All right.
Yeah.
So when was the first time you saw Drag Me to Hell?
I would have seen I know I've seen it several times, the first and last being close to when the movie came out. So it's probably, what, was it 2008?
2009.
2009,
yeah.
So it's been probably a decade since I've seen it.
Okay.
And that's the only time I would have watched it, because it's been a very long time.
Do you remember, was it a theater movie for
it
you?
It was not, no.
Okay,
it was like
video.
One of the, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's start out with you then. A decade later, how does the movie hold up for you?
So I liked it back in the day, and I remembered a lot of it, because usually sometimes my memory's just gone. But I always held it in pretty good regard, kind of like Marlon said. Like, it was never anything I raved about, but if I ever heard about the movie, I'm like, oh, that was a good movie. And I still feel the same way about it. I thought it was really good. Demons is scary. You know, I'm all for that.
Demons is scary.
I like a good jump scare and things. I thought they did it well. It's perfectly gross. Old ladies are gross. That old lady's gross enough. And I like the cool, awesome hope, and then the utter defeat of hope at the end. So I like this movie. I still like it.
All right. Marlon, your first experience with Drag Me to Hell, how did that go for you?
I liked it. I thought it was good. It was about what I was expecting, having no exposure other than, you know, like I said, the occasional, you should see it, it's good. I knew some pretty vague things about what it was about, you know, curses and a demon and that kind of thing, that it trucked in that lane of the horror world. I came out enjoying it quite a bit.
All right.
Nice.
Well, I hate to let you both know.
Oh, no.
That today's episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville will have some butt play, but will not have any hot crossfire debate back and forth, because I enjoyed the movie too.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm glad. We need to be united.
Oh, look
again
at you with the swerve.
I will say, first and foremost, guy. Marlon, my condolences that the cat did not make it out of this movie.
Look, I just want to, hold on. I want to give my case. I don't know who put this on their list. I'm not sure. But I know that I did not remember the cat, and I would have said something if I had remembered the cat. I didn't remember the cat. I truly didn't.
I Marlon, sent Leanne a text while I was watching this movie that just said, like, something along the lines
of,
you got
it?
Okay. You'll pull it up.
In all caps, the cat dies and Drag Me to Hell! ! Marlon is going to hate us.
I have a note here in my little notepad app.
A prepared statement.
You know. When that occurred in the film, it says here, and I'm quoting, are y'all fucking with me? Like, is this a bit that the two of you worked out on the sidelines that you're just going to throw, like, you're cherry picking? Like, y'all went to that site about does the cat die or not, and now you're just picking off that list. Is that what's happening? No,
I didn't pick it. I didn't want me. But I worried that you would think that exact thing.
I was like, as soon as it's we're at a point now where every time I'm just like, fucking okay, all right, is this a bit?
are you guys dicks? Are you guys being dicks?
It would be a funny bit, to be fair, because it would take quite a bit of work and coordination.
It's a month long bit,
right? And I appreciate a good long con. When she cheeses that cat, I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, what the fuck is going on? Mm.
The pet, too. I mean, she went straight for the pet. She didn't find a stray. She didn't, I mean, it just, she took the pet.
Yeah.
It was a bad move.
I had the same thought, but I knew immediately where we were going when that dude, Ramjas, is just like, well, maybe an animal sacrifice. I'm like, fucking here we go. Okay. All right. I know where we're headed.
We saw fucking Chekhov's cat earlier. And yeah. It's like, oh, I wonder if you're going to kill that fucking cat.
You can go find a different. How about a dog? How about we find some good dog murder movies?
No, we're good here.
I wouldn't want to put you guys through anything like that. So yeah, no, just keep the felines coming.
You sons of bitches. I will say that cat murder aside, this movie is unnecessarily loud randomly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a trope of Sam Raimi to a certain extent. Shortly when things started getting back to normal, I guess as normal as they can be post-pandemic, and they started opening things up to the world a little bit more, there was a screening of Evil Dead, one of Sam Raimi's first movies, and I went to go check that out, and it was at the VBC here in Huntsville, and Bruce Campbell was there introducing the movie, talking about the movie. And I hadn't watched the movie outside of home video. I hadn't seen it on a big screen ever. Mm-hmm. And so it had that surround sound, and everything in that movie is just screechy and pitchy. And that's how they get the jump scares in.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of that in this movie too. I found myself turning the volume all the way down mm-hmm. after like these loud moments, and then having to turn it way back up because they'd start talking and I couldn't hear them because I'm deaf as fuck.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I had a moment where I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Have you aged 10 years before this movie? Because I'm like, I can't goddamn hear these people talk. And I was like, I am my grandfather and something needs to fix. Something needs to happen. Like, yeah, no, it is. It's super. It does. I was constantly going up and down with the volume, and like the pounding was super loud, and then we'd get to talking and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And I'm cool if you do that in a movie a couple, three times. Mm-hmm. But they did this like for every jump scare, for every thing that happens, for every time the old lady shows up, for every time the scarf reappears, like whee, whee,
yeah, that's exactly how it sounded.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep, that was it. Did you have that sound bite just on hand?
I did. Yep. I had the Drag Me to Hell Shriek app on my iPhone.
It's his ringtone.
It's real hard to Google, because how do you spell it? This is for sure a volume rider. I got to the point pretty early, probably like 25 minutes in, where I did the thing that you do when you live in an apartment, which is just turn it low and turn the captions on. So yep. I read yep. this movie.
I read this movie. This was a good read.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a me thing, so I'm going to bring it up to the group. Do either of you have an opinion on Justin Long?
I do. I love him and think he's super cute. I'm going to give the girl opinion and say I adore him.
All right.
But it's okay if you don't. All kinds of kinds.
Justin Long to me is kind of like how you described Matthew Fox earlier this week when we were talking about Bone Tomahawk. He's just kind of there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that I liked him in was Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that,
no.
Leanne? No. So he, it's a Kevin Smith movie,
right?
And he plays like a gay porn actor,
mm-hmm.
and he has this really deep raspy voice. He talks like this, and I thought that was an odd choice, but it turned out he just had bronchitis, like real life bronchitis, and that's how he talked. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It stands up, but that's the mm-hmm. thing I'm most remember him from, and Dodgeball, and I liked him in that. But otherwise, he's just kind of there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's adorable.
Marlon, what's your take on?
I think he I like him in comedies. I think Dodgeball is about perfect. I think that's kind of the perfect role for him. So anytime I see him outside of that, and I don't know if it's because I saw Dodgeball before most anything else he had done, or the same with Waiting, you know, he plays a good, like, meek but adorable kind of character. And so anytime I see him in like quote unquote a real movie, like a non silly comedy, he just sticks out like a sore thumb to me. He looks like a toddler wearing his dad's clothes all the time.
Yeah,
okay.
I can buy that.
It's like, which of these actors is your dad? Because this is clearly Bring Your Son to Work Day. I don't know how you got on this studio lot, but every time I see him in a non-comedic role, I'm like, aw, did you get lost? Well, let's go find your folks. Get you some apple slices.
I will say, throughout the course of the movie, I was waiting for him to, I'm like, be funny. When are you going to be the comedic relief? When are you going to?
It wasn't his role.
I know, but that's what
you just can't buy him different any other way.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But he wasn't distracting enough for me, you know, right. or anything like that. He was fine. He served his role.
I won't say y'all are wrong, because it's your opinion and I totally understand. he's just adorable. So I'm just happy he's on screen.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy that you got some Justin Long time.
Thank you. Yeah. In fact, I put Justin Long, heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji.
I think my favorite character in the whole movie is that Rom Joss. I would watch that dude in more things. That was one, like, immediately after the movie was over, I was like, who is this dude and what else has he been in?
He was in Inception, wasn't he?
He was, yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Inception, I think, is the only other thing of his I've seen. But I was just like, oh, I liked him. He had a good gravitas in that part that I was pretty into. So more of him, Hollywood. I like him.
Yeah, just put him in more things. Overall, the theme of the movie, I may be mistaken here. I might be looking more into this, but I think what the movie was trying to say is that banks are evil.
You're fucking right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Overall, what are your guys' thoughts and takes on the overall theme of the movie, which is an old gypsy goes to a bank. She tries to get an extension on her mortgage payment. A plucky young upstart wannabe assistant manager at the bank denies her loan because she thinks she can make the tough decisions. Gypsy puts the curse on her. And then she proceeds to be like cursed for the rest of the movie. Like, what are y'all's takes on the Gypsy Curse movie? No one?
I was waiting for Leanne.
I was waiting for Marlon.
Oh, look at you. Y'all are so polite.
Oh, the fun of remote podcasting. okay. I like a good curse. Like, it's not, I feel like it's not in vogue anymore. We're too busy making zombie shit. But like a cursed by a demon. I like goat imagery when it comes to like demons and horror movies. Motherfucking represent for Black Phillip from The Witch, maybe my favorite of those.
Yep.
Yeah.
Legit.
I like that clearly, and I wrote this down when it happened, this woman has never seen Beauty and the Beast. If a haggard-looking Eastern European woman comes to you begging for a favor, you do what she asks. You didn't learn enough Disney lessons in your youth, apparently, because this all could have been avoided. And I, as a result of the main character, Christine, as a result of her choice right there, I hated her the rest of this movie. I actively rooted against the protagonist for the rest of the film. When this movie ends, I almost cheered out loud. I was like, yeah, bitch, you, that's what's coming to you.
And you killed a cat, so fuck you.
Right. You could have had compassion, but you chose self-gain. So eat shit. You fall on them train tracks. I don't give a fuck. I'm just like throwing up gang signs. Cat runs under the bed. Some shouting a lot.
You know, I didn't hate her at the end, but I did get really aggravated. It wasn't because she didn't do the nice thing for the old lady, but it's the fact that she wasn't smart enough to know she wasn't going to get that fucking promotion anyway. That boss, right? And that fucking Stew. Fuck you, douche Stew. They were so tight like that. She was never going to win that. So it was like, why even try?
So I had a roller coaster of emotions on this character. First
True.
Off, I do love a good curse movie.
Yeah.
You know, like the original Universal Wolfman, like that's kind of a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to kind of echo what Marlon was saying, like when a haggard Eastern European woman says, hey, can you do this thing? My response is, oh yeah, I've read Stephen King's Thinner, whatever you need. Like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So at first I was like, You should have done the right thing. Just, you know, extend her the mortgage, you know, like extend the payment,
mm-hmm.
you know, no curse. And then after that, I was like, near the end of the movie, when she's like, when she calls Stu to the diner and she's going to pass the cursed button off and then she doesn't, I'm like, you get whatever is coming. Yep. You deserve whatever is coming mm-hmm. to you. That dude is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him. And the horse he rode in on, put the curse on him.
How did she not, first of all, think of him immediately? Like, she sat around and she tapped that envelope around, like waiting to figure out who she was going to curse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not already mm-hmm. have a handful of motherfuckers that you would give a cursed button to in a second?
Yeah,
because I do.
You want to see my list?
Yeah.
Number one.
I do.
My mom.
Shit. I didn't mean to open up that can of worms.
Somehow I knew. Somehow I knew it.
I'm sorry. That was a dumb thing I did.
You mark my words on this podcast on, what is it, October 16th. October 16th. Mark my words. If I get the gypsy curse tomorrow, my mom is getting a button the day after.
She'll think it's a quarter.
Hold up. That would be her birthday.
Oh,
I think I'd give her. I would. That's actually her birthday. I would give her the gypsy curse on her birthday.
Oh my God, that's so poetic. Oh my gosh, we need a crazy gypsy woman to curse Jack right now. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Yeah. And if she wasn't available, you know, if she didn't have cell service at whatever casino she's at, I would still have a ready list of people I would just hand that
100%,
thing to.
100%, no hesitation, because they're scum of the earth.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, nope, she lived in her little fairy tale. She had to wait and figure out who was going to get that button.
You know, and we've talked about, Leanne, you and I have talked about in the course of different movies on Huntsville Home Video, you're like, oh, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Well, because obviously then the movie would be over in like 30 minutes.
True.
I think we should just make a series of short movies where it's like, Leanne, you have the gypsy curse on you, and then you immediately like, oh, and you come to the office, you give it the cursed button or whatever.
You know who
thing.
I'm giving it to here.
You give it to someone you don't like. End credits.
Done.
Like, we just
I
make,
would love that.
We make,
you know that guy on Instagram that got famous for showing the simplified way to do things?
Yeah.
That's just what we would do. We'd be like, here's it.
Yep.
I think that would be money.
That
like
would be,
10-minute shorts. Uh-huh. Just...
Do movies where it would have been over had they made the right decision
right.
10 minutes in.
Like, one is they just don't run upstairs. And then that's the
end. Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
The second you get that phone call, do you like scary movies? Ooh, nope, hang up, 911.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yes, I have a murder outside my house. Credits.
Yeah. I'm not going to put any popcorn on the stove to burn.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We touched briefly on the ending. Did either of you, like Leanne, you'll have to try to remember fucking 10 years ago when you first saw it, but did either of you see that coming, that like, oh, she got the wrong envelope and she still got the button? Because I, like we've talked about before, I'm not someone who tries to get in front of the movie. I just take it as it comes. I don't worry about trying to figure shit out. So like movies with like, haha, gotcha endings, I'm the audience for. Like, I'm the idiot who loves a twist ending because I'm surprised every time. But, like, I didn't see it coming at all. And when it happened, I was just like, oh, shit.
I think when I first, if I remember correctly, it shocked me. I did not see it coming either. This time when I watched it, I remembered and I see how it was kind of obvious, like they were showing the, I feel like maybe I probably had hope of like, oh, this is just going to be, they're teasing us with that, but she's going to be able to get rid of the curse and we're going to have a happy ending. But I was shocked the first time I saw it.
I didn't know the ending. Somehow I've managed to avoid that twist for, you know, like even in spoiler forums or like whatever kind of internet chat rooms I'm on. I thought that after the scene in the graveyard ended where she gives the button back to the old woman's corpse because she dies earlier in the movie or whatever, and the movie kept going, I'm like, oh, something's going to happen, but I didn't know what. I didn't know if, oh, twist, you know, the woman's not really dead or it was her sister that died or like something else. Like, I figured something was going to happen. I didn't know what. When we got what actually happened, I was like, oh, shit.
I thought it was super well done. It was an awesome ending.
And I mean, they kind of literally spelled it out for us in the title.
Drag me to hell. It's the cover. Like, her going down into hell is literally like the artwork for the movie.
Yeah, like she gets like knocked off a train track, and then as the speeding train is coming, you're like, oh, she's going to get hit by this train. Nope, she just gets drugged to hell.
I love seeing that through the train as it's passing by.
Yeah.
Like Justin Long's point of view, like through, oh, so good.
Like when they actually started peeling the skin away and the eyes bulge out, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Gave a little hand clap for that one. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You killed the cat. My boy Marlon is cheering right now.
I was like, that's right, bitch. if you're Justin Long, what do you do with the rest of your day? Like, he's got to go live a life on this nice Saturday. Like, oh, shit. Like, does he still go up to the cabin? Or does he, who do you call other than Ghostbusters? And I don't understand. Like, that's what I thought. As the credits were rolling, I was just giggling to myself. I was like, ah, what's he going to do? Do you go? Are you hungry? Do you eat? Do you get something to eat? I don't know what. Give me the sequel where it picks up immediately after that.
Or at least, you know, I appreciated the smash cut to credits app, like right as that scene ended. Give us a 3-minute post-credit stinger with like him just like,
just like that, the cafe alone, like there, just
and then he turns around bewildered and sees a flyer to join like a dodgeball league, and it was all an elaborate prequel to Dodgeball.
This is an in-depth prequel to Dodgeball. Yeah. That's very funny. Yep. I mean, I am into that. I think he just goes to a shelter and adopts a new cat. That's the movie I make.
That's okay. All right.
I like it. I like it.
It is 90 minutes of Justin Long covered in kittens. That's the whole movie. It's one shot. We don't even cut.
I think the sequel that Leanne makes is right after that. He's standing at the train station, all bewildered and heartbroken and shocked and awed. And Leanne just comes out of the cafe and it's just like, I saw that whole thing. It was fucking wild. Come back to my place. I'll take care of your butthole for you.
Ew. So I see you're single.
I saw the whole thing happen. That's fucked up. I'll take care of you. Come back to my place.
Yeah, you don't have to carry her bags anywhere. Leave them. Come on.
Leave those bags. You want a cheese Danish or something?
Come on, I'll buy you your own blue coat. Come on.
Oh, God. Also, this movie, boy howdy, there's a lot of mouth horror in this fucking movie. A
lot of slobber.
So much.
A lot of slobber. A lot of things coming out of mouths.
Yeah, a lot of things get vomited in this movie. Like, to the point where it's like when you watch a Tarantino movie, you notice every foot.
Yeah.
And you're like, does Sam Raimi have a puke thing? Is that what's happening here? Because this is a lot. Like the fucking, when she attacks her, that old lady attacks her in the car and she's just like gumming her chin.
Ooh,
and then God. She, later when she gets knocked out of the casket and just like bubbles all this fucking embalming fluid into her mouth.
Yeah, like, so gross.
There's some fucking nasty shit in this movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a true story. And I am a person, I'm going to throw this out there too. Like, I'm a person, if there is something on a person that I'm speaking with, like if like on their face, like if they have like a scar or a mole or something, or, you know, like some feature that they're probably like, oh, you're probably self-conscious about that. I'm purposely going to look you like right in the eyes.
Yeah.
If you have a fucked up eye, I'm looking at that eye.
I can't not look at it.
I can't not look at it.
I don't know which one to look at. Nobody has sat me down and said, Leanne, here's a lesson in life. This is the eye you look at if you have to choose.
Yep.
No one's done that for me.
If you have a cross eye, I'm looking at the one that's going left. This gypsy had like a dead eye.
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you anything else about her face other than that eye.
Mm-mm. No, I don't know what to do.
The police artist that you describe her to would just draw one eye.
Yeah.
Just one white fucked up eye.
What did she look like, sir?
She's got a weird eye. Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Nope.
I said, could you tell us any distinguishing features? Yeah, the fucked up eye.
How was her nose? Yeah. I don't fucking know if she had one, bro. Yeah, she had a fucked up eye.
Yeah, it might not have been there.
Like, it's that scene from Wayne's World 2, right? It's whenever they run into that character. Like, oh, we're going to cross the T's and dot all of the lowercase J's.
I said, I don't know what it is. I can carry on a conversation with an amputee, not look at the stump once. Not even ask them about it. Don't even care. I'm sure they're tired of talking about it. Your eyes fucked up. There it is, right there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at your fucked up eye, but it's right there.
Well, you normally do eye contact anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
I was taught you always have eye contact, but then I overjudge it the whole time.
Right.
I'm just like, it's terrible.
I feel like
I'm already
there
in the vicinity, and then now it's all, I don't know what to do.
I feel like I can tell that you can tell I'm looking more to the left.
Right.
My good eye is over here.
You know that I know that you know that I'm confused.
Yep. have either of y'all been talking to someone with a quasi lazy eye, like an eye that will drift from time to time? You ever been having the conversation when you're looking them in the eye and the eye drifts?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All I had.
And you subconsciously, your whole body drifts with it.
Yep.
Trying to stay in its field of view.
Follow it. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in the Michael Jackson Moonwalker video, just going like all the way.
Have you ever had this phenomenon? I don't know. I didn't know we would end up here today. But have you ever had this occur where you shake someone's hand and you don't realize until it is within your grasp that they don't have all five fingers on it?
No. Oh, thank God. I've never had that happen to me. I don't know what I would do.
I have not.
No.
I have, and I tell you what you do. You shake that hand as if they're all there, and you keep your eye contact, and you stay polite, and you fucking hold your shit together, but in your brain, you go, oh, God, there's not all the fingers there. because you weren't ready for it. And you're not like judging the, but you're asking all the questions in your mind. When did that happen? How did that happen? Did you get to keep it? Is it on a necklace? Like, but in the real world, you gotta just shake that man's hand.
Oh.
And I'm here to tell you, if I ever lost a digit, I would hope it's the middle one, so that when I am shaking someone's hand, I can palm their, nub their palm.
Ew. No.
Because I already know you're uncomfortable. Now I'm going to make both of us uncomfortable. Yeah. Little.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, boy. Nub their palm is going on the ick board. That's not a phrase I like.
No. I preferred it when you talked about buttholes.
Oh, my goodness.
I spent most of this movie, that makes it sound like I was constantly thinking. It occurred to me several times throughout this movie that, like, oh, this doesn't feel like that much of a Raimi joint. Okay. And then the seance scene happened. And I was like, there's that Sam Raimi goofy shit. Okay, I got it.
Oh, man. See, I had the exact opposite reaction. Like, from the start, I was like, this is a Sam Raimi joint.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. The
maybe we look for different things.
Right off the start, the car that the gypsy drives is Ash's car from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
That car is in everything, like in every Sam Raimi movie. Like, that's his, that's kind of one of his marks. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, that's a Sam Raimi fucking thing. And like the makeup on the gypsy, like, that's total Raimi.
I felt like I haven't seen a lot of Sam Raimi, but I feel like the grossness, the way it was done was like Evil Dead, or like would be within that family.
All of those herky jerky movements of the gypsy, like when she attacks her in the car, just the way that whole sequence transpired, like all of that. To me, that's textbook Raimi. Even if I didn't know it was his movie, I'd be like, even if I didn't see the car, I'd be like, that looks like a Raimi shot. Like, even in Spider-Man 2, when Doc Ock comes to life, and all of the things that they're doing with his arms, I'm like, yeah, that's Evil Dead Raimi right there.
Wow, okay.
But to Marlon's credit, like, that seance scene, that's laying the Raimi on extra thick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, this was kind of billed as his return, right? If I'm remembering the marketing around this movie, it was like, Sam Raimi returns to horror, because he had just shotgunned all three of those Spider-Man movies back to back to back.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think it's a good return.
Yeah, no, I was very happy with it. And I found myself kind of going like, man, why did you wait like 12 years to see that movie? That was pretty solid.
Yeah, same here. I don't know how spicy the take is, but my favorite Sam Raimi movie is A Simple Plan, which I don't think most people would answer when asked what their favorite Sam Raimi is.
I think that's a very good movie. I actually enjoy Sam Raimi's The Gift.
Yeah, The Gift is also good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these movies.
Oh, well, I guess if you follow us along at Huntsville Home Video, eventually we will have the episode where we watch The Gift and or A Simple Plan.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. We got plenty of movies to go.
Oh, The Gift with Sam, Jason Bateman?
No. That wasn't The great. Gift with Kate Blanchett, Keanu Reeves, Katie Holmes is in that one.
You had me watch that movie, and that is a good movie.
Oh, did you actually watch that one?
I did watch that movie. You asked me. She's the paranormal, and he's like, and Keanu Reeves is racist.
Yeah.
And he throws a hard N, and it's crazy. Yes.
And I believe a cat dies in that movie. Fuck.
It's not funny. Shit. It's not funny.
God damn it.
God damn it. So Marlon, never watch The Gift. We'll scratch that.
Oh, boy. At least he stayed away from it in them Spider-Man movies.
So let's wrap up some closing thoughts on Drag Me to Hell. Let's start with you, Marlon. What are your final closing thoughts?
I was super satisfied with it. Entertained throughout, even with what I consider to be a super unlikable protagonist. I still dug it a lot. I really liked the character Ram Joss and that actor. I liked it all, man. This is just like a front to back good ass movie. It ain't gonna set the world on fire, but you know what? I would consider watching it again down the road at some point. I'm gonna say 4 out of 5.
Nice. All right, Leanne Foster.
Yeah, I'm super excited that I had liked it all these years and was still correct. enjoyed watching it again, and definitely if it's on, would watch it again. And yeah, I'm glad we got to visit it, so I will give it a 3.5.
I as well enjoyed the film. I enjoyed the fact that it was a studio movie, a big budget, proper release studio movie that Sam Raimi got to do all of his Sam Raimi shit in. Mm-hmm. He got the proper gross out stuff that he loves in there. He got, you know, it was a good movie that I think a Sam Raimi fan can enjoy. I think a casual movie fan can enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like Marlon said earlier, not enough curse movies. There needs to be more of them.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen a lot of them or have given them a lot of time.
Yeah.
And now to hear that there's not as many of them done well.
Right. So with all that put into a package, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Kicking myself for not having seen it sooner. I will give it a 3.75 out of 5.
Good deal.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Man, we might bring peace to the world with our harmony and our unity over Drag Me to Hell.
Wow. Look at us.
Buttholes united.
Buttholes united.
Yeah.
So if you thought the gross out moments in this movie were something.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out a suggestion for tomorrow's movie that really, really amps up the gross, if you guys are on board for it.
Why not?
How do you feel about Dead Alive? Has anyone seen that movie?
Don't feel anything. Don't know what it is.
Marlon?
I have always heard about Dead Alive, but have never seen it. That's one of those that I have been told there is a lawnmower in it. It's one of those movies that, like, people who are into gore are like, this is the one to watch.
This is the one to watch. Also directed by a pre-Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson.
Is there a lot of walking in this movie?
No. There's a lot of kicking ass for the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Tell you about that.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you all about that tomorrow. I don't know. So we're going to watch Dead Alive tomorrow.
What's happening to us? Oh, what's going to happen?
More splatter per minute than all of Reanimator. Like, if you thought Reanimator was gooey,
Oh
yeah, we're getting into some slop.
All right, I'll put the rubber boots on.
You got me curious, because I am not, as a general rule, as we discussed during Reanimator, mm-hmm. not a fan of the slop. So mm-hmm. let's see how this goes.
Let's see how it goes. Tomorrow we will watch Dead Alive, and we'll be back to chat all about it. Maybe bring your raincoat, some knee-high boots. It's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting.
Great.
It's going to be good time.
All right.
So we'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville. If you want more, if you just found our trek down 31 days of horror recently, go back, check out the other days. You can also check out Leanne and I weekly every Monday on Huntsville Home Video. I show her a movie she's never seen. We talk about it. We have a good time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at
HSV Home Video.
And Marlon Wells on loan to us for the month from America's Barley Basket. If you are liking his commentary, you should check it out on America's Barley Basket. Marlon, where can they find you? Where can they get those new episodes?
We are on the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Barley Basket USA. You can listen to the show wherever you're listening to this, any podcast app of choice. New episodes every Tuesday. Listen to Nathan Folsebach and myself talk about mostly The Simpsons, but severely sidetracked pretty constantly.
Very true. Very true. And check us out tomorrow. The three of us chatting about Dead Alive on a new episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville. Until we chat again, my friends, be kind and rewind.
Be kind in particular to haggard, older Eastern European women.